Good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. I apologize for last week. We were going to have a show, but unforeseen circumstances took over. But we're back this week and healthy and ready to go. And I just want to let folks know that this will probably be our last Coach's Corner for a while, either the end of December or the first of the year. There's really not much going on. We're glad that Laker hockey is up and running, and hopefully they can continue through the next few weeks, but with not a lot going on to be able to put a show together of as far as a local show, that which is what we are here on Coach's Corner. But we do have a show this week, and on Coach's Corner, we will discuss things coming up with the Michigan High School Athletic Association Executive Director, Mark Ewell. Second time we've had Mark on, and that's coming up here on the show here in a few minutes. We'll discuss the plan of attack for the MHSAA of coming back to try to finish the fall sports, volleyball, football, things of that nature, and when hopefully we can see winter sports start here in the not too distant future. Of course, when things start to wind down, hopefully for COVID-19, but we'll get an update from the executive director of the MHSAA and Mark Ewell coming up. Also, our season in review, State of the Union, if you will, with Sioux High head football coach Scott Menard. It was a great season for Blue Devil football, and we'll discuss things coming up with Scott, and we'll review the season and preview next year as well with the coach, all coming up here on Coach's Corner. Mark Ewell, the MHSAA executive director, is up next. That's coming up here in moments time. This is Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. Welcome back to Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO on this Thanksgiving weekend, and we now are joined for the second time this year with Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Mark Ewell. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us. I wish we were talking about the football championships wrapping up and winter sports looming around the corner, but unfortunately, as you know, we're not surprised. We had to hit the pause button yet again.
We did. The story of the fall and really the story of 2020. It's been an incredibly challenging year for all of us going back to last March. And, you know, athletically, it's been no exception. Every time, I think what's important for your listeners to know is that going back to June, every time where our government leaders told us that it was okay and it was safe for activity, that we have done so. We were able to work out through the whole summer. We got into August, of course, and had to pause football for 3 weeks as well as three other sports. But no, not only did we show that we were able to play this fall, but we were able to play safely. The number of teams that were able to play each and every week in all of our fall sports, we were at 95% plus, which was really quite astounding when you think of, you know, the number of COVID cases that there've been statewide. But I can understand why Health and Human Services did go back to the 3 week pause, because certainly the COVID numbers over the last 6 weeks, they're doubling almost on a biweekly basis. And hopefully after the 3 weeks here on December the 9th that we can get our fall teams back to practice and hopefully conclude the three fall tournaments of volleyball, girls swimming and diving, and obviously our football playoffs completed, as well as find a path to get our winter kids back to practice and hopefully, those winter sports that their games can start just after the first of the year.
You know, a few weeks ago, Mark, I want to say it was like November 12th, I was listening to your interview with Bill Simonson on The Huge Show, and I could tell, and I was, of course, looking at my crystal ball, I could tell in your voice that something's going to happen here. You just had the feeling it was coming. And the next day, I drove down to Cadillac to broadcast the football playoff game, Sioux High against the Cadillac Vikings, and I just had in my head, win or lose, I think this is the last game for a while. You just could feel it was coming, and, you know, because, as you said, the numbers and things of that nature. The main thing is you guys have a plan, and several plans, and one of them, obviously, is we hope that things turn around in this three-week pause and we can get the football playoffs going again.
Absolutely. So, we really, Dave, have good data that, you know, going back to August the 1st, almost 9 weeks of our fall season, from August 1 into early October, that the daily new cases per 100,000 were almost unchanged statewide. The positive percentage test rate, August 1st statewide, was 2.4%. When we got into early October, that number was at 2.8%. So it only went up in those 9 weeks, 0.4%, and was still under 3%. So we saw that we were able to do school sports and to do it safely. I think all the data that's there shows that certainly high school athletics were not these super spreader type events of the virus that, you know, some speculated that they would be, that we've really tried to follow the science and the data and keep our programs as safe as they could. But you're right. We could all kind of sense something was coming, because just the number of cases had increased so rapidly through the last half of October and in the early November. The percent of positive cases, you know, we had been down in the 3 to 4% range for months, and that jumped up above 10%. So no, I think we could all kind of sense something was coming, and hopefully we're all just doing the right things. And here after the Thanksgiving holiday and into early December, we can get practice started. Our key dates, December the 9th. Volleyball really is the easy one. So they're going to restart practice hopefully on that Wednesday, December 9th. And then the following Tuesday, that's normally when our quarterfinals would fall on that Tuesday, and the winners from Tuesday night would advance to the semis on Thursday and Friday of that week, with our volleyball finals being on that Saturday. So really, volleyball, after the restart, they can have their entire tournament done within 10 days. Now, Lower Peninsula girls swimming is a little bit trickier with swimmers, and I have our oldest son is a college swimmer at Hope, so I now kind of get this world a little bit. But so much of their training is geared toward the date of the swimming finals, and they're tapering their workouts to try and achieve those very fastest times. So on the restart on December 9th, we've got to give our young ladies in the Lower Peninsula 2 weeks to kind of get back in the pool and to train again, with our diving and swim finals being on December 22 and 23, still finishing that up by the holidays. And then football, if we're able to restart practice on Wednesday the 9th, we would practice for a week, and then we would hit the fourth round of our playoffs, and then with our semifinals coming the following Monday and Tuesday, and then with the 11-player finals, along with the 8-player finals, would be just before Christmas. And then hopefully we're able to get to the finish line with our 11-player finals still at Ford Field on December 28th and 29th. But if we could give our fall kids some closure still during the calendar year of 2020, I think that's a pretty remarkable accomplishment given all the challenges that all of us have had to deal with this fall.
Mark Ewell from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, the executive director, joining us here on Coach's Corner. I'm Dave Watson here on Radio Sioux, of course, getting an update on high school sports and when they can restart, things of that nature. And, you know, Mark, the one thing, too, as you mentioned, volleyball is one of the easier paths. Eight-man is as well, eight-man football, that is, because I think they, correct me if I'm wrong, only have 2 weeks left as opposed to the 3 weeks for the 11-man.
You're exactly right. So on the restart on the 9th, that following Wednesday would be our 8-player semifinals, and then with the finals to be that following Monday, which would be the 21st of December, and on the turf and Midland Community Stadium. Just give it, it looks like the mix of Northern Michigan schools versus more Southern schools in the Lower Peninsula. Midland seems to be a really good geographic halfway point for all the schools involved, and it'll be really important to give our A-player kids the closure that they need.
Mark, you know, the one analogy, a couple of the analogies that you've used that I think you hit the nail on the head, and you alluded to a little bit about it here a few minutes ago, and that is the fact that you look at the spread of COVID. You know, it's not as much, and the data shows it, as you pointed out, during competition, during the practices. It's I like your analogy of these fifth quarter parties after the games, things of that nature, the socializing, when folks are socializing, players, parents, fans, what have you, like they do in normal times. That's when the cookie crumbles for us, so to speak. I think you hit the nail on the head on that.
It is, and you know, I was speaking to a health department official, and he kind of suggests, he said, "Mark, you could make millions of dollars to print off this T-shirt," and he calls it his COVID T-shirt, and on the front of it, it would have three directives on it. It would say, "Go to school," and then just underneath it, it would say, "Go to practice," and then on the bottom, it would say, "Go to your game," and then on the back of the T-shirt, he would say, in the biggest letters you could get on the back of a shirt, it would then say, "Go home." The data all fall has shown when kids are in school, kids are at practice, and kids are at games, the virus is not being spread. That with the mask wearing, with the social distancing, with all the safety protocols that kids have had to, you know, really, you know, work with during the school day as well as with school-related activities, we've done an outstanding job of keeping everybody about as safe and healthy as we could. High school kids, and I've got, you know, three teenagers that still live in my house, and God bless them, but they are social creatures, and, you know, on the weekends, they want to, and by the way, I think adults are the same way, too, Dave, because, my gosh, all of us going back to March, I mean, we just long to be around people, and it's going to be so hard, you know, it was so hard, you know, on Thursday of this week with Thanksgiving, and you know, those normal traditions of getting around family members and friends that you've been doing for years. It was just really different this year. And unfortunately, until the vaccine gets some, you know, widespread distribution, that's kind of the reality that we're all living in. But no, if you've got, if you're an athletic parent and you're able to hear our discussion today, just do whatever you can. You really keep focused on the most important thing. And if we want to be able to let our kids play, we need to really limit it to our activities being the game itself, practices and games, and the social things that we're all dying to do again. Let's wait until later in the winter, into the spring, when the vaccine is spreading the way that it should, and hopefully then we can all get back with a Coca-Cola or something a little stronger in hand, be able to, you know, kind of rekindle some of those adult relationships.
With what you're dealing with, I know I'd be having something stronger than a Coca-Cola. But you know, I'll tell you a quick story, Mark. You know, you mentioned, you know, and there's really not a lot of difference from the kids to adults as far as the socializing. The end of the high school football season, October 23rd in that area, after the game, Sheboygan and Sault Ste. Marie, you know, before the game, one of our referees texted me and said, "Hey, one of our really good, actually head official is moving, Roy Swanson, who is a longtime referee, soccer, football in the area. Roy did a great job." Well, Roy had to move because his job situation was changing because of COVID, had to move to Florida. And so, you know, that was his last game. So we're going to get together. And we did at a local establishment here and had a bite to eat. And in my head, I'm like, are we doing something wrong here? You know, it's in your head. It comes in. And that's another example of a situation, Mark, that, you know, there's a guy, you're losing a referee, a really good official, when even in normal times, we struggle to get officials, you know, to be able to get referees for these games. That's a long time issue in high school sports, especially in Michigan. And now with COVID on top of it, we're losing some really good officials because in this case with Roy, he has to leave, you know, because of his job.
Sure. And we've lost some officials with COVID connected concerns this fall. I mean, the average age for an official, and this isn't anything that is, I think, a shock to many people, but it's an individual that's in their early 50s, which actually makes sense. That number has really been there for a long time, that, you know, people get involved in officiating maybe when they're in college, a way to make some extra money, or when they're soon out of school. And then, of course, you know, it's marriages and family, and it's hard to become, you know, involved as much. But we get a lot of people, once their kids then get through high school, that's the time where we're really able to recruit a lot of people to officiating in their 40s and 50s, and even some that are older than that. And certainly in the era of COVID, you get folks that tend to be a little bit older, and then if they also have an underlying health condition, for example, my mom, who was in her 60s, she's a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so she's a recovering cancer survivor, and I can tell you that my mom, just given her age and given that reality, she is incredibly more careful than what I think a lot of her friends of the same age are. So you're naturally going to lose some people because of attrition just based on their situation. Now, the only silver lining in this is our officiating numbers are tied quite closely to the economy, that when the economy tends to struggle, that's a time where our numbers go up. And certainly COVID has impacted an awful lot of families and individuals across our state. And we've actually seen the number of new officials increase this fall because you got a lot of families who are hurting and looking to fill in some financial gaps. The problem is when you lose Roy Swanson, and you get that brand new person, well, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to get that brand new person up to speed and to get them trained and to get them ready to go. And that's really going to be our challenge here over the next few years. But no, COVID certainly has created all kinds of challenges, and officiating being one of those.
Mark Ewell with us of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, the executive director at the MHSAA here on Coach's Corner. I'm Dave Watson. And Mark, you know, you talked about, you know, we've talked about this before, and you mentioned it here in the last, in the recent time as well, is the fact that, you know, the concern of, you know, we have to, you know, look at the fact that we don't want to lose these kids to these other, you know, leagues, AAU and things of that nature. And I'll give an example here. You know, a few weeks ago, Sioux High Hockey started their tryouts here in Sault Ste. Marie. They had 1 week, and then the school district looked at the numbers, looked at their situation. They said, you know, we're shutting down, and they shut down. So the tryout shut down. They said they'll start up on November 16th. And then right before the state put their restrictions in, the school district said we have to push back all tryouts to December 1st. And, you know, that's a killer for a program like that from a standpoint of, boy, they may lose kids even though a lot of things are shut down. These recruiters, and they don't stop, you know, as far as knocking on doors to these parents and things of that nature. And that is something that is, you know, really that has to be looked at from you guys, from the MHSAA's perspective, because these other leagues, they don't stop coming.
They don't. And, you know, the thing that we firmly believe is our kids are safest in our programs. Our coaches in the high school world have to complete required training. So they're not just the high school coach, but they're trained, and in many cases they're also certified teachers, that there are some expectations. And what's different in the school sports realm is we do have procedures and protocols to keep people safe. And unlike a travel team or a non-school club, there is some accountability in our programs. That you have high school coaches that answer to an athletic director, who answers to a principal and a superintendent and a local board of education. And I saw it all summer with my own kids, kind of the wild, wild west of the non-school space. Of, you know, sometimes we'll wear a mask, and other times we won't make spectators wear a mask, and sometimes we'll enforce social distancing, you know, and we're not talking during the game, but during those times where you easily could do things just to reduce the risk for everybody involved. And sometimes they follow it and sometimes they don't. Well, in our world, those things get followed, and they get followed all the time. And I think that's a big reason why our numbers have shown that, you know, we've been at 95% plus the entire fall of the number of games that were able to be played. We were able to really minimize the COVID risk to a great degree, and hopefully we can take that success of the fall and get our fall finished, and then build on that here in the winter.
Okay, you look at it, Mark. You mentioned the fact that, you know, you guys have a plan. What's, you know, and again, you know, this is an area you want to go to, I imagine, but what's the breaking point to being able to get, and I'll use football as an example, to get the football championships in? Is it the end-of-the-year plan? How far can you go?
So I think to finish now, we would have to get them done during the month of December. For us, try and get a sport like football played in our state, especially as you go north, especially as you go north over the bridge. To have any reasonable expectation that you can do that in January, February, or March is frankly crazy. I do think that volleyball and girls swimming in the Lower Peninsula, we'd be able to complete those whenever we're able to get back to activity. You know what? I'm just crazy enough that if, let's say that December doesn't happen, and after the winter, if we could then look at a spring window to where we could come back and have a week or two of practice and then trying to finish the last 2 or 3 weeks of our football tournament, depending on if you're in the 8-player or the 11-player, that isn't off the table yet, because I think it's important, and the biggest lesson that I took away from last school year is just all the kids that never got closure, the kids who were involved in our winter tournaments that came to us to stop 2.5 weeks before the finish line, all of our spring kids that never really even got the chance to get out of the starting blocks. Since June, we said that our goal was to have 3 seasons and to have 3 seasons that all reach the finish line, and that continues to be our goal. And if circumstances dictate that we need to become incredibly creative, creative we will be.
And you have, even though you hope not to have to use the window, you have a little bit of a window to push back to winter sports and shorten it up if you have to.
We do. And in a perfect world, if we're able to finish the fall in the month of December, what you really got left after the first year is you've got 6 months of your school year left. And if you can do that and then kind of really split those 6 months in half and give winter sports January, February, and March, and then for our spring sports, you're looking at April, May, and June, you're not drastically changing the length of those seasons, you're not drastically alternating the calendar. I still think that gives those kids in those 2 seasons a quality experience, a chance to finish with a statewide tournament series, but yet it also ends up by the end of June, which allows your seniors who are then moving on to the next chapter of their life the chance to do so, and that it also gives everybody else who's going to be in a high school program next year a chance then, because so much of the improvement, it happens over the summer. And then it still gives our schools an opportunity to get the normal summer workouts in. Hopefully we'll all be ready for a normal August, come August of 2021.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed here, Mark. There's no question about it. And stay safe, and thanks for taking the time and giving us an update on how things are going with the MHSA and the hopes for the restart for high school sports. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, David. I'd be remiss if I don't give a shout-out to my in-laws, the Arlen and Levada Bell, and all the extended Bells there in the Sioux. I know they're listening, so got to keep myself on the good graces of their list. So,
yeah.
Hello to all the Bells up there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be the first and foremost. Thanks again, Mark.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, that's Mark Ewell with the Michigan High School Athletic Association, the executive director, and we'll be back with more Coach's Corner in a moment on 1230 WSOO. And we're back here on Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. And last week, of course, we were going to have, as Brian Davies so appropriately put it, where's the State of the Union? Scott Menard's State of the Union address for Sioux High football at the end of the season that we always do. Of course, due to unforeseen circumstances, we could not have last week's show. So we have the coach on now. And good morning, Scott. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving and everything. And we're going to talk a little bit of review of Blue Devil football.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.
All right. And let's talk about the season. And it ended in a few weeks ago, and I think we all had a feeling, win or lose, that it was going to be the last game for a while, the way things were going, in our minds. And we'll talk about the game in a moment. But did you have that feeling, Scott, that game in Cadillac, win or lose or draw, was going to be the last one for a while?
Yeah, I think we did. I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit. You know, I had some people that, had brought it up from different walks of life that they all kind of had the same idea that, this might be it for a while. So, we always prepare and plan like we were going to come back on the following Monday, but it was one of those things where we figured that, either we're going to be done for the year or we're going to be done for, a good portion of time. And to be honest with you, Dave, if we had won, I don't know what our protocol and our preparation would have been, with these next couple of weeks. So you know, either way, we kind of had that feeling.
And you wouldn't know what kind of personnel you would have. You were down a couple key guys as it was
right.
going into that game. And it was I made the comment to Pat Bennett, and I think I made it to you as well. I feel like we're in the old go ahead and get the snow hill up, and we're playing King of the Hill because it's, you know, last man standing at this point, and not because you lose on the field.
Well, you know, and first of all, I want to say that, you know, the way that we played in that game against Cadillac, you know, I thought we really showed a lot of resilience. I think you used that word before the game that night, you know, because we were down some big time players, you know, some starters that game. And I thought we really fought pretty hard. But, you know, you're right, Dave. I mean, you looked at that day. I mean, Kingsley was done. Obviously, Pickford had their issues. You know, there were schools all over the place. So, you know, we really didn't know. You know, who we were going to have. Yeah, exactly. There's another one. You know, there were a ton of schools. So, you know, at that point, we were just like, holy moly, you know, we just don't know who we were going to have from one week to the next. And you're right. If we'd still be doing something right now, or we'd have to play here in a couple of weeks, you know, it would be kind of a crapshoot to even know, you know, which of the guys we'd still have that we'd still be able to play.
Let me ask you before we get into the team and that. What's your thoughts on, we had Mark Ewell on prior to you, Scotty, here on Coach's Corner today, the fact of, well, and it's a crapshoot whether they're going to be able to come back here in a couple weeks. It's dependent on if the restrictions are lifted or if they're able to lift them. As we talk right now, the odds aren't very good. But what's your thoughts on, you know, if you were to, let's say you beat Cadillac, and then, and that game, by the way, would be at Sault Ste. Marie in the middle of December against Forest Hills Eastern. There's that, too. And what's your thoughts on all of a sudden being able to come back if you are it's a very surreal feeling, really.
I really don't. First of all, I want to say that I wish we would have won the game. But I don't envy any of the coaches, you know, if they have to come back and be able to, you know, all of a sudden, basically after a month, have to rally your troops and get prepared, you know, to play one or two or three games at the end of December. You know, I don't know. You know, we have a great coaching staff. We have a great group of kids. You know, we have a lot of strong supporters from a family perspective. But, you know, it would be very difficult for us to try to have to get organized enough to get these kids to, you know, understand that, hey, you know, you still got to stay in shape. You still got to quarantine yourself. We've got to get back in this football mindset again. You know, I just think for anybody that's still coaching right now, and that's got to be, you know, one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult thing you've ever done as a coach.
Well, and the other thing too, Scotty, and even though you have a great relationship with the other coaches in the winter sports, like a Mike Fitzner, you know, in your case, and
sure.
and things of that nature, and then Pat with volleyball, with girls basketball, and Pat Bennett and that. But in more of in the northern Michigan, in these rural areas where you're taking athletes that play in football and then go and play boys basketball or hockey or things of that nature, you're really asking a lot from these other coaches as far as which do that are always a team player and say, hey, you know, go play football in the playoffs or go whatever, and we'll be ready for you when you come. But now you're asking a lot as they're trying to get ready to prepare as well when they're given the green light to be able to get going back out on the ice or on the basketball court or what have you.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great point, Dave. You know, I got messages from both Rick and Mike during the last couple of weeks that we were playing, basically saying, hey, listen, you know, you don't worry about what those guys are doing with our sports. You take care of yours first, which we, you know, is great because we do have I think we have a great level of professionalism between and amongst the coaches, you know. But it would be difficult, and, you know, it would be a lot to ask for a kid to say, hey, listen, you need to come and practice football for an hour and a half, and then maybe, you know, if coach wants you there for you to go, and, you know, and you hate to put a kid in that situation to have to make a choice. So, again, I don't envy any of these coaches that are going to have to go through this right now because, you know, maybe in bigger schools you can get away with it, but, you know, in a school like us, where we're taken from the same pool of kids that might be playing two or three sports, you know, it'd really be difficult.
And, you know, lastly, get a thought on this. Mark Ewell mentioned as in the interview prior to you that you know, because I said, what do you do if you can't get the seasons done? Of course, eight-man would be a little easier, and volleyball as well, because they don't have as much to finish. 11-man football has 3 weeks left. I said, what do you do? Do you just call it a season, or what do you do in that situation if you can't get it done in between the holidays at Ford Field? And his reply was, you know what, I'm crazy enough to try to get it done this spring. And which I found interesting, and they want to get a championship in, and that's their, and the gap is a little closer for that, but they're thinking that far ahead if they can't get Plan B done, which is in December, to get all this done.
Yeah, I mean, and then you think about that. I mean, think about how difficult, even more difficult, you know, that's going to become, because now, you know, you're saying, okay, we haven't played football since November. The last time you won a game was in early November. But now we're going to have you, we're going to give you 2 weeks and get ready to play maybe one game or maybe two games, you know, and you will have basketball, or you will have wrestling, or you will have hockey that you'll have to compete with. And then we're going to ask you to stop that and play football. And, you know, that's a tremendous burden on a coach of an existing sport, on a football coach, or on the athlete himself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's go on to the season and your overall thoughts. I thought it was, from a broadcaster's standpoint, even though it was a very stressful season for you, but you're in the same boat with every other coach in the state and probably in the country, but what a fun season of Sioux High football.
Yeah, it really was, you know, and we were lucky, again, because I didn't realize this until I read it in the newspaper, that we were only one of two UP schools to play nine games, you know, that Marquette was the other. So from that perspective, we played a full season. You know, we were pretty darn lucky to do that. From a game perspective, game-by-game perspective, I mean, you know, the first couple games we went in just kind of saying, hey, listen, we made the playoffs. We're just going to, you know, we're just going to do some things and try some things and see who can do what. And, you know, we really had a good attitude at the beginning. I think, you know, those first two games on the road, you know, our kids, we like to play the role of the underdog, I think, and we kind of took that as a mantra, at least at the beginning of the season, where we looked at, you know, nobody expected us to win at TC. I don't think anybody expected us to win at Marquette. We played, you know, good enough to win both of those games, and they were exciting games for, you know, because they kind of went down to the last drive in both games. You know, and to get off to a start like that, unfortunately having a disappointing game against Gladstone at home, but, I mean, I think just winning those two games on the road at least kind of showed us that we could do a lot of things with a lot of people, and that we weren't afraid of, you know, late-game situations, which obviously was kind of a foreshadowing of what happened with Ludington's game, because, you know, we had been in games where we had, you know, if the game had come down to the last drive. And, in fact, Dave, if you think about it, even the year before, you know, how many games did we have where it came down to the last drive? So we've got some kids that were able to play in those situations, and, you know, it's stressful. You know, you watch the Ludington game. I mean, that was a stressful game. I mean, the Traverse City game was as well. But it was a fun season, and, you know, you got to see a lot of different situations, a lot of different teams. You know, that's probably the wildest schedule we've ever played as far as the variety of teams and styles of play from schools, you know, all across Michigan. So, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, I mean, it was a pretty interesting and pretty fun season.
When we had you on, as we were chatting with Scott Menard here on Coach's Corner, a year in review of Blue Devil football, and here on the corner, I'm Dave Watson. And Scotty, when we had you on prior to the start of the season, early September, there were a lot of unknowns with the Blue Devils this year, and mainly the line play with what you lost last year with some really good linemen. And of course, that was the question mark of we might have to rely on some other areas, but boy, I'll tell you what, you know, the job that between our defense, and we'll talk about that in a moment, Gordy Campbell's done a tremendous job, but another coach that, you know, you got to tip your cap to, a couple of them, and Brad Bovin and Matt Johnson running especially Matt running that line play, some guys really stepped up this year, and that offensive line was outstanding throughout the course of the year, even especially early on in that St. Francis game. We're looking at each other in the press boxes like, where did this come from?
Well, you know, and I think back to a conversation that Matt and I had. I think it was during, I think Pickford played basketball here, And after the game, I went over and talked to Matt, and you know, the conversation quickly turned to football. And he was enthused, and he was excited about the possibilities of what we had coming up. You know, we had to bring up a sophomore in John Burke. We had to bring up a freshman in Callan Campbell. We had to bring up a sophomore in Adam Horrigan. Nick Chico had to play left tackle and had never started a game before. You know, we had Cole Byron coming back at center, but he only played half a season because he had an injury. You know, so we had no idea, and other than Dale and Lujan, had no idea, you know, what we were going to get out of these guys. But these guys, and a lot of this, you know, this credit has to go to Matt. You know, they're teachable. They're coachable. They got the fundamentals down first. You know, they communicated really well amongst them. And, you know, I think, again, that, you know, people took them lightly. I think they took – I think they looked at our team and said, well, you know, there's no Hoffman. There's no Dotremont. There's no Eddington. So, you know, that's going to be a weakness. And we kind of thought that but didn't want to say it. But those guys really came together, you know, and the big thing now is, you know, you look at it now and you say, holy smokes, you know, you got the core of that line coming back for a year and in some cases 2 and 3 years. So now we look at 1 year we thought was going to be a weakness. Now we know that for the next 2 years, that's a strength.
That is a big strength and really a surprise because a lot of it was not that we didn't expect these young men to do this. It was unknown. And that was
absolutely
that was the key there. And then you look at, you know, several other areas, the defense, even early on at St. Francis. And I'll tell you what Gordy brought with that defense this year, they were just tremendous. And at times, just, you know, shut down. They'd give up chunks of yardage. And I go back to the Ludington game, and they'd give up some yardage. But then you get in the red zone, and they'd tighten up the chin straps, and they wouldn't let you in. And that was the case all year.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, there were a couple. You look at those first two games. I mean, there's a drive fairly late in the game where Traverse City gets down inside, I think, our 25, and we just tighten up and we force them into a third down, and we make the quarterback throw a errant pass. And I think it was either Bennett or John picked one off, because I know the next week at Marquette, the same situation. You know, we get into a fourth quarter, fourth quarter situation where that team is driving. And we force him into a third down inside the red zone, and we get another interception, you know. And even the Gladstone game, you know, when we, you know, they had us in the fourth quarter, they had first and goal at the 9 or the 10, and we stopped them and still had a chance to win the game. So, you know, again, I look at our defense, and I think that, you know, one of the great things that Gordy's done is he game plans, you know, week by week, and he's not afraid to change personnel. You know, he's not afraid to change our scheme. You know, there's some guys that, you know, if we played a passing team, yep, you're going to have Vinny and Callan out there at defensive end. But if it was a running team, you know, you might have John Burke and Adam Horrigan at defensive end. I mean, it was just a lot of interchangeable parts. You know, we had to go through a couple different DBs. When Jack Swan got hurt, that kind of caused a domino effect as well. And then when we had some guys on quarantine, we had to, you know, we almost had to revamp it again for the playoffs. So, I think a lot of it goes into the fact that Gordy, you know, puts a great amount of time in with these guys. And, you know, we've come to accept that, you know, defense is almost, along with our running game, probably the trademark of Sioux High football.
We had some guys throughout the course of the year, you know, get injured, too. And you mentioned Jack Swan. And, you know, all of a sudden John Robinson steps up. And, John, you want to talk about most improved players. You know, when you hand out awards, he has to be right there at the top of the
Absolutely.
List. And you've asked a lot of him throughout his young career, Scott, and he's stepped up. And if he makes a mistake, he quickly corrects it. But when you asked him to go in that Marquette game when Jack had that foot injury and was out for most of the season, is able to come back towards the end, and right away you could see it with Robinson, and what a nice compliment he was with Pierce in the backfield, and he stepped up.
Well, I mean, and Dave, you know, one of the things that we've really tried to focus on the last couple of years with the guys, and it's kind of cliched, but it's true for us because we're not blessed with 40 or 50 kids, is, you know, the fact that everybody has to understand that they have to know their position, because the next man up situation is one play away from happening. You know, we had it at center. Cole Byron got hurt. Jade McDonald came in, did a fantastic job. You mentioned the Marquette game. Jack Swan gets hurt. John Robinson hasn't taken a handoff in a game in varsity time ever. You know, and even in that game, if you remember, Dave, that Chris Pierce, he was out for the majority of the second quarter and even a little bit of the first, and Ryan LaPlante went in and did a fantastic job. I mean, if you think about that game, Dave, you know, we were down our top two running backs, you know, early into the second quarter, and we were able to sustain enough of an offensive drive to keep us in the game to until Chris was able to come back in that third quarter. So, you know, John did a fantastic job on both sides of the ball, and I just think that, again, this goes back to the preparation, you know, by our coaching staff that, you know, we know that we've got these guys prepared, and it's a credit to our kids that, you know, when somebody goes down, the next guy's ready to go.
You know, and you look at with your quarterback, we'll talk about what's coming back and things of that nature here in a moment, but, you know, here's a third-year guy that just continues to step up, and Jake Davey, the game in Ludington we talked about during our kickoff show interview in Cadillac of just the maturity he showed and the poise. He just continues to grow with that as he goes along.
Well, you know, and I think that we probably don't appreciate what he's doing enough right now. I think that, you know, a couple years down the road or whenever it happens to be when we get to perspective, then we'll realize what I'm trying to even think of the word here, you know, how lucky we were to have Jacob and just for Jacob to do the things that he does. You know, the one great thing about Jacob that he's gotten so much better at in this year, I think, is he doesn't try to do too much. You know, the second thing that he does great is he is able to recognize the situation that's around him. He's got great field sense. And I think, you know, we look at that last drive against Ludington, you know, that very last play. I mean, you know, he came right over to me. I yelled a play at him that, you know, Brad Bove and I had talked about. He got those guys up on the line. He was aware of how much time was left on the clock. He got the snap off just before. I mean, you watch that play again. You know, he rolls out. There's not an ounce of panic in him, you know, and he finds Cal in the back of the end zone, and it's like he threw that pass 1,000 times. So, I mean, having Jacob back there, I think the one thing it does for the rest of the guys too, and I know for the coaches, is that there's never, you know, a sense of panic. You know, like it's almost to the point where we rely on him because we know he's going to make the right decision. And sometimes when he doesn't, because he's still a kid and he's still a junior, you know, we're so surprised that, oh, how come Jacob couldn't make that play? But, you know, you just get used to him doing the right thing all the time that it's, you know, when it doesn't go his way or doesn't go our way, sometimes it's a surprise. But, you know, he's been the glue for what we've been able to do and the success we've been able to have the last couple of years.
Scott Menard with us here on Coach's Corner, talking Blue Devil football. You know, a lot of seniors leaving after this year, Scotty, and some really class kids. You know, you mentioned Chris Pierce. I believe Vinny Feebles is in that group. And a lot of great guys, you know, that really led the way for Blue Devil football the last several years.
Well, you know, when these guys, a lot of these guys were eighth graders, you know, that was a pretty solid crew. I don't think they ever lost a game at any level until they became ninth graders on the JVs. And, you know, and then they got beat around a little bit when they were freshmen. You know, we brought Chris up because we, you know, he had the size and he was kind of second fiddle, you know, to Tate for a year and then kind of came into his own last year and this year. And we obviously missed him, you know, against Cadillac because we had a couple, I think we had three fourth down and, you know, and ones that, boy, we could have used Chris. But just the, you know, between Chris and Vinny and Bennett and Jack and, you know, Cole and Jaden and Justin and Riddick and the rest of the guys, you know, just the idea that they really embraced the team aspect of it. You know, our theme this year was family because, you know, these guys, this has been their, you know, their family for 4 years now. And, you know, there's 12 of them. They're pretty close. And you could see it. And the one thing I loved about them, too, was the fact that they, you know, they were great with taking in younger kids. I mean, they were great when we brought up sophomores for the playoffs. They were great with those kids. And I think, you know, one of the things we've always tried to do is get kids to understand that, you know, there's more to playing Sioux Falls football than just football, you know, and there's a legacy and there's a tradition and there's expected, you know, behavior that they should exhibit, you know, to the younger kids, and these guys have been fantastic, and they've been successful doing it. I mean, we've won 18 games in the last 3 years, and that's as good a stretch as I think we've ever had. So, I we talk about all the stuff we got coming back, but we are going to have some big shoes to fill.
Yep, some definite big shoes to fill. And you mentioned coming back. You know, you mentioned to me as we walked up the steps at Memorial Stadium in Cadillac for the pregame interview, and you mentioned, hey, this lineup we have tonight are guys that will be our lineup next year. And it was due to injuries and COVID and things of that nature. But you have that core group that played the a few weeks ago in Cadillac. A majority of those guys are guys that names will be called next year.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, we go back to, you know, Jacob, who's going to be now, hard to believe already, this is going to be his last year, but his fourth year. You know, John and Ryan, you know, did a fantastic job in that game. And, you know, those guys we'd be looking at and our line, you know, we have Callen started at tight end. You know, he's a freshman. Nick Albacall started at our blocking wingback. He's a sophomore.
And he really improved as the season went on, I thought.
Absolutely.
Nick did.
Absolutely. You know, and like we talked about Burke and talked about Horrigan and talked about Chico. You know, we're going to fill a split end position, but we've got a couple of kids on the JVs. We've got a great athlete on our team in Emmett Fazari that we got to find a place to put on offense. We've got a couple other kids, you know, Caden Lujan and Tim Garland and a few younger kids that, you know, from an offensive perspective, we've got to find places for them. But, you know, if you look at our starting group in that Cadillac game, I think, you know, of the starting 11, 8 were underclassmen. And I think on the defensive side, it might have been 7 or 8 as well, because I know that we were missing Tim Garland, who's another sophomore that, you know, got quarantined, who was a starter on defense all year and did a great job.
Made a nice impact in a few games.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, you know, when you got eight out of 11 coming back on both sides of the ball, it obviously makes things a little bit easier. But then you have to remember, who are we missing? Well, we're missing Dylan Lujan. Well, guess what? You know, he's all-conference co-MVP for defense and a starting guard for 2 years. You're missing Chris Pierce, who's been an all-UP running back. You're missing Bennett Swanson, you know, who made some amazing catches and huge catches, you know, in the Marquette and Ludington game. You're missing, you know, two solid centers in Cole Byron and Jaden McDonald, and that's just on the offensive side. So, you know, we're fortunate. And Matt and I talked a little bit yesterday about the fact that, you know, we're kind of all in on this group of guys the next 2 years, and we think that, you know, we got a chance to continue our success. But they have to understand, you know, that there are some big roles that they have to fill and that they have to continue to mature and get better and get stronger.
Sounds good. Some good stuff there, Scotty. It's been another fun season. Thanks for all the help that you give me to help our broadcasts, and looking forward to next year as well. Stay safe throughout the season, and, of course, happy holidays to you if I don't talk to you before then.
Well, I really appreciate it, Dave. You've been a great friend of the program, and hopefully we can continue some success here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, because Bennett and I, you know, what would we do on Friday nights if we didn't have you guys in the fall to keep us busy?
Yes, that's true, and I was thinking the same thing. You know, there's nowhere I'd rather be on a Friday. So thanks for everything, Dave, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, buddy. And that's Scott Menard, the head coach of Sioux High football. We'll be back to wrap up, close up shop for this week's Coach's Corner in a moment on 1230 WSOO. Back here on Coach's Corner to close up shop for this week and for a little bit. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this will be our final show here for a while. Of course, we're a local show mainly here in the Eastern UP and Algoma District, and not a lot going on. Of course, we're glad Laker hockey is going. Sioux Thunderbirds over on the north side of the St. Mary's are going as well for hockey in the NOJHL, but Laker hockey has started up here the last few weeks, but not a lot enough, I think, to get a show going. And to be honest with you, it's difficult at times to get people on the show. And I think a lot of folks are preoccupied with the state of what's going on, and that's completely understandable. So it's kind of been having to do some heavy lifting to get a show up and running. But right now, I think with everything pretty much at a standstill, we're going to step aside here for the next few weeks. We hope to be back either the end of December in that neighborhood or more than likely at the start of 2021, which we hope is a much different year than what 2020 has brought us, that's for sure. We'd like to thank our guests here on Coach's Corner today, MHSAA Executive Director Mark Ewell. Great interview with Mark. Always a pleasure having him on. And Sioux High head football coach Scott Menard, and getting a State of the Union of Blue Devil football and a review of this past season, which was a fun one that saw the Devils get all the way to the third round of the playoffs, bowing out to Cadillac, and then after that, everything else was pretty much shut down. A reminder, you can hear Coach's Corner in podcast form now, and that's at, of course, podcast1230wsoo.com. Click on that. We'll have it ready to go. Give us about 24 to 48 hours, and keep on looking. Click the link, and you'll find it. We'll also let you know on our WSOO Facebook page. That's 1230 WSOO on the Facebook page there. If you click and like us, go ahead if you haven't and like us on Facebook, because we'll keep you up to date when that is ready as well, along with some other pertinent sports information that is happening. We let you know on that page as well. A reminder, Scott Nason has the game over on ESPN 1400 Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Scotty's still going strong with that. First hour is normally local. Second hour is the roundtable with Butch on Sports from Detroit. E.J. Russell will join him from Escanaba, and that's a great show. The second hour is all usually regional and national. The only local, regional, national sports show in the Twin Sioux is over on ESPN 1400 with Scott Nason, Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. over on ESPN 1400, as well on thegamesportsshow.com. That will do it for this week's Coach's Corner. Again, Mark Ewell and Scott Menard have been our guests. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation of 1230 WSOO. Stay safe, and we will be back as soon as we can get back here on Coach's Corner. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.